to continue welcoming and express appreciation for your being here. Yeah, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's good to get together, not only to enjoy friendship and fellowship, but especially as a congregation to give our worship to our Heavenly Father. There's an outline in the bulletin this morning again, if you'd like to follow along as we go through our lesson. I'm going to ask the question, what do you think of Christ? What do you think of the Christ? Like one of the, one of the teaching methods of Jesus was to ask questions. This is a very important question. One time when Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Matthew chapter 16, beginning of verse 13, says, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Jesus told him who he was. I'm the Son of Man, but what are the people saying about me? Well, they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some said you're Elijah. Others said you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" That's the question today. Who do you say Jesus is? Simon Peter answered correctly, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Same question was asked of the Pharisees in Matthew 22, verse 42. Jesus asked the Pharisees, saying, "Who do you what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" So that's an important question. It's one for us today. And the way that you answer that question will determine your eternal destiny. What do you think of the Christ? Who do you say that he is? Been answered in many different ways, just like when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Oh, some say John the Baptist, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Well, same thing you ask people today, what do you think of the Christ, or who is Jesus to you? And they may say, "Oh, I think he's an imposter." Wrong answer. Some may say, "Well, he's just a man in history." Some will expand that thought, say, "Well, he's not just a man in history, but, oh, he was a good man." Some say, "Oh, he was one of the greatest teachers of all time." There's general agreement that they, "Oh, he was a worldwide influence. Everybody who knows about Jesus, or at least has heard about him." But then there are those, like many of us today, we confidently express our belief in him to be the Christ, the Son of God. And we believe the biblical account as it's stated. But the question we're asking today is, how can we determine the correct answer? Any help available in us in answering the question? So in this lesson, you can see in the list of people in your notes, I'm going to take a look at the Bible story of Jesus, focus on the testimony of those who knew him firsthand, those that were his contemporaries, those that were around him during his ministry. They saw his miracles. They heard him teach. So imagine yourself as a juror. You're sitting in the jury box. And I want you to listen to the testimony of these witnesses, and we'll ask each one the question, what do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he? So the first we look at are the enemies, and that's only fair, isn't it? Let's see, what are those who may be opposed to him? What do they say? That's fair. So let's, first of all, let's call the temple officers to the stand. These were the people that were sent by the chief priests to arrest Jesus. These officers made the, I'll call it a good mistake, because they stopped and listened to what Jesus had to say. And so they listened to his message. They were so impressed by it that they could not arrest him, because nobody spoke like that. To the chief priests. Chief priests asked in John chapter 7, verse 45, why haven't you brought him? They answered, because no man ever spoke like this. Wow. Temple officer, what do you think about the Christ? Never heard a man speak like that. Pharisees to the stand. These are the bitter enemies of Jesus. These are the ones that tried to trap him, and then close to the end of his earthly ministry, they sought to destroy him, to kill him, plotted against him. In Luke 15, beginning of verse 1, Jesus to hear him. Ah, that's good. They said, this man receives sinners and eats with them. The Pharisees, what do you think about Jesus? Oh, he's a friend of the sinners. Eats with them. That's pretty bad. In Luke 27, verse 40, another occasion, the priests also, they were mocking Jesus with the scribes and the elders. And they said, he saved others, but himself he cannot save. They said in mocking terms, if he's the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross. We'll believe him. They said he trusted in God. And deliver him now if he'll have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. So, Pharisees, what do you think about Jesus? Well, he eats with the sinners. Receives them. He saved others. He trusted in God. He said he was the Son of God. Well, that's pretty bad, isn't it? But if any of these charges, or you think, are any of these charges so serious to cause a condemnation and a crucifixion? Pharisees, that's the best you can do. He said he was the Son of God. Caiaphas is the high priest at the time of Jesus' crucifixion. I think Caiaphas, more than any of the others that surrounded the scourging and the trial and the crucifixion of Jesus, was more demanding. During Caiaphas' examination of Jesus, in Matthew 26, verse 62, Caiaphas, the high priest, the verse says, arose. And he said to Jesus, do you answer nothing? And testify against you. Jesus kept silent. High priest answered and said, I put you under oath to the living God, Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it's as you said. I don't think he liked that. You. Hereafter, you'll see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power. So then the high priest tore his clothes when he heard that. He said, this man's spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Caiaphas says, look, now you've heard his blasphemy. What do you think? Oh, what do you think of the Christ? Just because he said he's the Son of God. The only charge that they brought against him. It's really not a charge at all if it can be proven true. So the evidence of Jesus had been presented during his ministry. They saw his life. They heard his teachings. They saw his miracles. And they're going to be witnesses of his resurrection. And all of the evidence gives us every reason to believe that he's the Christ. Fulfilled the scriptures. So Jesus was correct and Caiaphas was wrong. So let's call another witness. Mr. and Mrs. Pilate. Pilate was the Roman governor, as you know. He's in Palestine at this time. And after a full and complete examination of Jesus, Pilate says, I find no fault in the man. Pilate's wife, Drusilla, is nearby, and she comes into Pilate, and she gives testimony. She says, have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I've suffered many things this night in a dream because of him. A just man. Find no fault in the man. So what do you think of Jesus? Let's call Judas.
Oh.
Now think of Judas, this disciple. His action is puzzling. Judas was one of the 12 apostles for most of Jesus' public ministry. Judas has really firsthand information about Jesus being the Christ. Judas is the one that was an eyewitness to Jesus' miracles, to Jesus' teaching, hearing his prayers. But then Judas betrays Jesus in the garden with a hypocritical kiss. But that's not his final verdict. Judas, what do you think of the Christ? No, he's not worthy of betraying for 30 pieces of silver. So he takes the money back and throws it, they throw it down, and he sees Jesus arrested and given a mock trial. So after verse 4, he says, I've sinned in that I betrayed innocent blood. In verse 5, he went out and hanged himself. Judas, what do you think of the Christ? Innocent. Innocent blood. This was the man who was in charge of the events at the cross. That was his task. He was to make sure everything went according to schedule. And after seeing all the events that take place at the cross, especially the earthquake, the Bible specifically mentions, and he sees Jesus giving up the ghost, having said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Matthew 27, verse 54, the Roman centurion says, truly, this was the Son of God. Then there's one of the thieves. Let's call them to the stand. In Luke 23, verse 39, you know the story. It says, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed Jesus. He said, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. Oh, but the other thief answered and rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. Ooh, testimony from the thief. We get what we deserve, but not this man. Not this one. So thief, what do you think of the Christ? And then he makes the request, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Jesus, today you'll be with me in paradise. Then we have the demons. Oh, the spirit world. Put in your notes in Luke 8, verse 28, but I want to add James chapter 2, verse 19 to the demons. Because James says, to his audience, you believe that God is, or that there's one God, you do well. And then it says, but the demons believe and tremble. James 2, verse 19. Demons, what do you think about the Christ? Oh, we believe. And we tremble. Ah, the spirit world trembles at the thought of Jesus. Then there's the chief priest at the last, because of all the testimonies that were made against Jesus, the witnesses and the accusations, they couldn't find anything that would hold, could be substantiated. So they paid others for a false testimony. So Matthew 28, after Jesus has lived his life, was crucified, buried, and resurrected. The chief priests in Matthew 28, verse 11, here's the story. While they were going, meaning those that were witness to the crucifixion, behold, some of the guard came into the city, reported to the chief priests all things that had happened at the crucifixion, the resurrection. When they, the chief priests, had assembled with the elders, they gave a sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them, in other words, tell the others, his disciples came at night and stole Jesus away while we slept. And if it comes to the governor's ears, we'll appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews to this day. So that concludes the testimony of the enemies, those who oppose Jesus. It's just interesting when you note each testimony really glorifies Jesus as God's Son and does not defeat him. But we had to hear from the enemies. What do you think about Jesus? Now remember, this lesson started with, I'm going to ask you, what do you think about Jesus? Whose son is he? So let's let the friends speak. And obviously, if they're friends, they're going to be friends. But John the Baptist, it was in our text that was read to us this morning. John was the forerunner. He was the announcer of the coming Messiah, the coming of Jesus. When John has his disciples preparing his people for the coming of the Messiah, and he has this following, and when John is preaching to his disciples, he sees Jesus walking by. In John 1, verse 29, he takes the attention of his disciples away from himself and turns them toward Jesus. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Oh, John, what a testimony. What a testimony. Let's call Simon Peter to the stand. Simon Peter was the fisherman who followed Jesus, and he was an apostle. He's the one that answered Jesus' question when the disciples were there. You know, who do men say that I am? And after he answered, oh, this is what the people are saying. And Jesus turned the attention to Peter himself, like he does, he's going to do to us. He said, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Peter answered correctly, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. But later, as you know, Peter denies Jesus at the crucifixion. But that's not the end of the story either. Because after Jesus ascends to heaven, Peter preaches in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. And he convinces these devout Jews that are gathered from every nation. He reaches that point in his sermon where he says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. The people respond correctly. Because said when they were cut to the heart, they began to cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of God's Spirit. Because to you is the promise, and to all those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other work of generation. Verse 41 says, and those who gladly received his word were baptized, added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls, in the breaking of bread and prayers. They responded correctly. I'll tell you who Jesus is. He's Lord, and he's Christ. and he demands the right response from me. Let's call John. Describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved is in our text. John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Verse 14, that Word became flesh, dwelt among us. Oh, Jesus, John, who do you think Jesus is? Oh, he's the one that was with God in the beginning. He's the one that God sent because he so loved the world. He wanted us saved. Let's call Thomas to the stand. It's called Didymus in the Bible. It doesn't mean doubting, it means twin. Situation that took place in John chapter 20. Jesus meets with his disciples after his ascension, or after his resurrection, right before his ascension. Thomas wasn't there, but Jesus presented the evidence that he was the resurrected Christ. And when the disciples leave the room, they go and they see Thomas. Thomas, we've seen the Christ. We were right there with him. And Thomas, oh, rightly so. Might even said, "Boy, I remember my name," saying they're the Christ. Says, "Ah, you have information I don't have. Until I see the prints, you know, the scars." And so the next time Jesus meets with his disciples, Thomas is there. Jesus says, "Thomas, come closer. Reach hither, thy finger, you know, and touch the places." Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." Then there's others, the men of Decapolis. Jesus preached among them. He worked miracles. They said, "He's done all things well. Nothing wrong with Jesus." Saul of Tarsus. First, he was a persecutor of Jesus. Then he became one of them. A persecutor of Christians. Then he became one of them. Philippians 3 says, "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. I'm going to give up everything I've had in my past for the Christ right now." Then the heavens speak. The angels. Angels announced Jesus' birth to the shepherds. He said, "Don't great joy which shall be to all people. There's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Oh, the heavens speak. A host of thousands in the Revelation. Revelation 5, verse 11. I looked, the living creatures, the elders, the number of them was 10,000s and thousands, it says. And they're saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." He's worthy. The heavens speak, the Father at the Son's baptism. "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." When Jesus is on the mount where he was transfigured, the voice of God thunders again from the mountain. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the added phrase, "Hear ye him. Hear ye him." I've just presented to you 18 testimonies. 18. How many do you need? How many do you need to be convinced that Jesus is the Christ? I've given you 9 testimonies from his enemies. Didn't bring a credible charge against Jesus. Friends who gave their lives in testimony of their belief that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. Here's 2 contemporaries, and they gave their testimony. There's 3 testimonies from heaven giving substance to our faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And the lesson for us today, and you can add this to your notes, in John 20. Verses 29 through 31. I'll close with this. Jesus said to him, meaning Thomas, "Thomas, because you've seen me," remember he's with the disciples now, and he sees the evidence, "because you've seen me, you have believed." Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's us today. We have not seen. But we've been presented with the evidence because the verse continues, "Truly did Jesus, in the presence of his disciples, many other signs which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing you might have life through his name." So I presented the evidence, the testimonies of all of these people that are written in the book These are written for us, that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The lesson began, what think ye of Christ? So now it's your turn to answer the question. What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he? And that should make a difference in your life. It's an answer that will determine your destiny. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. There's a simple plan or a formula, a recipe, steps in becoming a Christian. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 33, come learn. Learn of me. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in him whom you've not heard? So you need to hear. And then second, believe that message. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. I want to believe. Believe the evidence. Jesus also said, number three, in this progression in becoming a Christian, to repent in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. And then number four, you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son, just like the testimonies that were given here. That's what the Ethiopian did in Acts chapter 8 when Philip preached unto him Jesus. He said, here's water. Anything hindering me from being baptized? The Ethiopian said, or Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, well, he made a confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Philip said, stop the chariot. They both went down into the water, and number five, Philip baptized him. He came up out of the water, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of rejoicing. Always. So that's the invitation we extend. And maybe one here this morning, not a member of the New Testament church. You haven't followed that simple plan or formula or steps. And then once that takes place, then as a newborn babe in Christ Jesus, from that point on, then you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're on our way to heaven. We're just pilgrims here. Just pilgrims. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Dennis has selected.